Hey guys, it's Sunny here again with the Sunny Janice Show. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are recording episode 202. So I have a very special guest, and today is going to be another heart to heart, which means you can follow along with us on YouTube after you grab your coffee, your tea, your sparkling water, or if you're still drinking it, your wine, because I find the older we get, the less we lean into that, or maybe that's just me. Christian,
I
go
was like, we can have wine. I'm gonna go get some wine right now. Just
ahead. We can
kidding.
go get some wine. Go ahead, start lifting us up. Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. I really enjoyed listening to the episodes that I heard. I got really inspired by just the frankness of it. And for me, I was one of the first reproductive acupuncturists in North America, and I worked with tens of thousands of infertile couples. And now we're working on building the first like operating system for women's health. So a virtual, like AI virtual care team to help meet women's needs across their whole reproductive life cycle, starting with age seven. Seven till death, right? Get them ready for their first period and then stay with them until they die. And I'm pretty excited about it. And you and I were talking in the pre-show a little bit about this feeling of always feeling so different. Whether you're neurodivergent or not, like just some people have this feeling like I'm not like everybody else. Like something is like I'm a different species almost, And I definitely had that my whole life. I was just like, I don't understand myself. Other people don't understand me. Like I can't tell if I'm going to be homeless or win the Nobel Peace Prize. It's like, it just doesn't, like for us, it doesn't feel.
At you, girl. I'm laughing with you. You said it so well. You have no idea if you're going to be homeless or win a Nobel Peace Prize. But let me ask you, what does your gut tell you?
Oh, I'm definitely winning the Nobel Prize now.
Sorry,
Yeah, not the
go on.
Peace
I
Prize,
had
but the
to
Nobel. I mean,
interrupt.
that's my goal. That's my goal is to win the Nobel Peace. I mean, the Nobel Prize in medicine for two reasons. One, I don't have a lot of ego around any of the work that I do anymore, and I'm not very driven by money, but I am really driven by impact. And what I want to do is be able to prove that we can solve most of the problems that women experience with their bodies and their health for almost nothing. That we can use AI to like really make women the hero of their own health journey by such a tiny investment of both her time, like 10 or 15 minutes a day and $15 a month. We can give her the tools and resources to completely redesign herself in any way she wants. And I think that if we can do that, we'll make such an impact on not only the current lives of women, the lives of, the health of women when they get pregnant, which changes the health of their offspring, right? So we make a generational impact. That's all stuff that gets me pretty excited.
I can see why, because well, and let's share some of the background to the audience with our audience here, because my audience might not be as familiar, but most recently it was discovered, and a lot of healthcare professionals know this, but because it wasn't officially documented or everything was moved forward with it, it just kind of sat in limbo over here. But was recently medically determined that none of the advice or proper health solutions or even the breakdown of the ailments were meant for a female. They were just meant for a smaller version of a man, is how they worked around that.
You know what they even said? They said when they asked them, like, why didn't you include women in any of these studies? Mostly this is around pharmaceutical studies. They're like, because their periods make it so confusing. That's exactly why you need to do, you should only do it on women and extrapolate to men because they're not so confusing, right?
Yeah,
My
exactly.
mentor, this is really funny, and I love men. I'm not a man hater or anything, but my mentor used to always say, she said, women's bodies are extremely complex. She's like, men's bodies are extremely straightforward. She's like, in fact, men are kind of like those little wooden triangles that hold the door open. They're very simple. They have one function. They're very good at it. They can stand solid, keep that door open. And girls, women, we're all over the place. Like we have so many operating systems happening inside of us.
Yeah, we do. And learning about that and owning that, and it sounds like there's an opportunity to grow by being guided by the platforms that you're working towards. So the platform helps them grow into the next level of themselves.
Well, what the platform does is that I think that my goal for myself and for people that I'm get to have the privilege of working with is to help them to be free, to help them to unshackle themselves from anything that's holding themselves back from whatever they want and from their most amazing expression of themselves. And when you think about it, we have, 1 in 5 women can't get pregnant. 80% of women have life-interrupting menstrual pain in PMS, and I'm like, well, those things are actually pretty easy to fix. What would happen if we unleashed women first from all their physical things that they have to deal with? If they're missing out on a week or two a month because they're compromised by their period, what happens when we like get, it's like you watch all the Senate hearings and they're like, I'd like my time back, please.
Yeah,
Yeah. What
pretty
happens if we
much.
give the time back to all the women who have been like out of work, not functioning at their best, and still kicking ass? Right, still completely kicking ass, why they're about to hemorrhage out or throw up or pass out from their menstrual pain. What happens in society when women are free from those kinds of constraints? Then we get to start adding more freedoms. What about freedom in communication, freedom through language, freedom through finance, freedom through environment, freedom through negotiations, all those places. So in the conceivable operating system, just as we're starting standing up with for infertility, and at the same time, what runs the fertility version of it will run all the other experiences from first period all the way through postmenopause. And inside that main node, there will be all kinds of other opportunities, more like a life coach, to help her start to have access to, the most, all the tools that I think have helped me. That, it's not to replace a real coach, right? But a lot of people, if you work at Walmart, you don't have money for a coach. It doesn't matter how much you save, you don't have $200 a week for a coach, right? So how do we meet the needs now so that then we get them feeling better, we give them more empowered, then they work more money, then they use a real coach, right? Or they use it as a compliment.
Well, and there, and I think that's the key too, is the compliment piece gives them the homework, the assignments, the accountability, the action, call it what you will, and the guidance.
Yes.
But conveying with the real person when the time comes is a completely different experience than taking this kind of action. You know, you're almost reflecting on the results of this action.
And also I think that, what my goal is that, imagine that a girl who's 7 years old starts using the app. And she learns about all about periods, all of everything that we all wish that every person knew before they had their first period, right? And we flood them with po body positivity. We flood them with positivity about you're becoming a superhuman going through puberty, not prepare for hell, right? We flood them with so much great content so that they start being like, having a period is the most amazing thing. I'm the
Oh,
future of the
imagine.
species. Right, what happens then, right?
Yeah.
And when they're like walking around like, man, I'm the future of the species, you don't get to talk to me that way. Like, I'm the queen of the planet.
Yeah.
Right? Not in a conflict way, but as a just like being embodied, right? And accepting and loving, right? What their body has given them.
And it sounds like it's teaching them a different way of lo loving themselves.
Yes. Well, and also not hating themselves, right?
Well, yes, because they're so influenced. I mean, we're so influenced at every age, but they're so influenced at that age. I wanted to extend that we are still influenced at any age. It doesn't matter how old we are. That doesn't really go away. We just get better at hiding it or making it seem like it doesn't matter.
And I think the older that we get, we've just been programmed over like the message. You're not fill in the blank, you're not smart enough, cute enough, skinny enough, whatever. You just get that message from yourself. Like, I don't really believe in being a victim, so I always try to like whatever's going on, I try and take responsibility for it. And even some of my friends will be like, why do you always blame yourself for everything? I'm like, no, I'm not blaming myself for anything. I'm taking full responsibility for everything that's happening in my life. That way, I own all the power. If I take responsibility for the whole thing, well, either I can do something different and I can be like, well, I tried to do something different that may or may not work, or I can do nothing and be like, well, I keep getting fatter, but I keep eating chocolate cake. And it is my fault because I love chocolate cake and I haven't made it a big enough priority to stop eating it or whatever. You know what I
Or
mean?
whatever it is.
Whatever.
And what this is bringing back to me is are those third party comments that show up in those delicate ears. But let's fast forward to the perimenopause stage. How does this talk to this generation?
In the exact same way, right? First of all, you start. I do a TikTok live almost every day, and a lot of people say, like, are my symptoms coming from perimenopause? And I was like, and they're like, I can't tell. I'm like, well, how old are you? I'm 38 years old. And it's like, you definitely are in perimenopause. Like, everybody starts perimenopause around 35. That doesn't mean it's not like you're in perimenopause. Just think of perimenopause as reverse puberty. So if you think back to when you're like 8 years old, maybe you had a little bit of discharge for a year or more, or maybe nothing was happening with your boobs, but they were just starting to feel sore sometimes. This is the reverse is happening. The hormones are now, instead of ramping up towards menstruation, they're just starting to ramp down. But there's so much, first of all, just like periods, menopause has been really villainized, because there's no support. There's not very much resources. They get a lot of mixed information, right? And nobody want people want to talk about menopause even less than they want to talk about periods. So what we want to do is we want to be giving them in the 30s, we want to start just gently start a little bit of content about menopause and what to be looking for and what are your early things that you want to start addressing before you're having 100 hot flashes a night. Right. I'm all about personalization and prevention. How do we figure out what are the subclinical factors that are likely to be impactful for this person? So like in Chinese medicine, they have a diagnosis of yin deficiency, fluid deficiency. And these people are going to have a harder time in perimenopause often because already the estrogen is declined or the fluids have declined. So in the years prior to 35, if we can start figuring out why isn't there enough fluid, or like why can't she hold on to fluids, right? Sometimes we're dry actually because of our temperatures are too low, right? When temperatures are really low, we drink water. And this is like the subclinical hypothyroidism. Like they drink water. This is me too. I drink a big thing of water, and literally in 5 minutes, I go pee all of it out, but I'm still thirsty. There's actually, it takes a little bit of heat to vaporize the fluids into the cells, right? Otherwise, just pours back out. Those people like have loose stools and things like that. So the things that we can work
Got
on
it.
before menopause comes helps you to have a more harmonious, I don't want to say easier or worse, I want to say more harmonious.
That, I mean, again, for a lot of people that may not be unclear, maybe unclear with where we're going with this, with the different work you can do behind the scenes to set yourself up for success. And that can and certainly does start with your gut health and taking care of yourself from the inside out and how it has an impact everywhere. So these are some small shifts on the previous show, which episode number 201, I talked about how, especially women who are neurodivergent, they're always looking for dopamine because they don't have enough of it. But women in their going through perimenopause or menopause have an extra hit to that because of the estrogen levels going lower and then causing less dopamine. So now we're looking at a compound effect. And this too, even if we worked on this part beforehand, now you're dealing with just one of the two. So combined, it's nasty. And I don't mean it, any part of you. I mean the whole experience
The experience.
of the heaviness that comes with this part of life as you're really juggling a lot more than what you did when you first became a woman. So you're going through the hardest time of your life, physically, mentally, emotionally. There's so many tricks that are your body's playing on you, your mind, body, and soul. Literally, you're facing demons every time you turn around because you're just so uncertain of everything. So let's talk about some strategies. How would you recommend somebody, like, who is the right person for you? Talk about your avatar.
Well, in our current iteration of the work that we're doing with Conceivable, we're straight fertility right now. If you're a person who has any period problems, if you're going through perimenopause, if you don't mind just listening to a little bit of fertility talk, the app, you can use the app, right? Because in Chinese medicine, we're never treating anything, we're always treating everything. So that's why the main app can go between all of these different journeys for women, because it's never treating PCOS, it's never treating perimenopause, it's never treating hot flashes, it's treating the whole presentation of that woman. That's her symptoms, that's her environment, that's her mind, that's her exercise, that's what she eats, that's how she lives. All of those, that's what the app is assessing and figuring out where are the problems, and then figuring out how those problems are connected, and then giving you a virtual care team. You get a chef, a nutritionist, a therapist, a tongue analyzer, an acupuncturist, soon a fitness coach, meditation teacher. And so the basically Kai, Kirsten AI, she's your leader, right? So it's an AI digital twin of me. And then she has her team. It's like, okay, well, when you go to talk to the chef, you do a whole interview with Kai. And then when you get to the chef part, the chef looks at the whole database and is like, okay, this person, is kind of blood deficient. They're exhausted. Their gut doesn't work. They're super stressed, blah, 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 blah. And then it starts making a plan. It tells the chef, okay, she needs more iron-rich foods and B12 foods and a little bit more protein, fiber, and fat. Let's try to like get her blood sugar a little stable. And so then she makes those menu plans for that. And what's really important about the experience is like tracking has not been shown, like using any kind of fertility period tracker has not been shown to change the incomes and the outcomes. They only give you data. And in fact, I think they're incredibly stress producing. Like if you use the Oura Ring and you'll see like, oh, I got 10,000 steps and my sleep score was low and blah, blah, blah. Or I use the Anato monitor and my PGD, which is a kind of progesterone, is 16.4. And then you're like, but what does that mean, and what do I do with that?
Oh, yeah, you're getting
But
half the information.
right, so we give you a data analyst,
Okay.
and she's never looking at, if you say, why is my PGD 13.5? It can't answer that question. It can only look at the system. So you have to say, like, what's going on? And then she'd be like, okay, let's look at everything. So first, I still see, so I was going to start with energy. Still see your energy's like a 4 out of 10. Let me look at the rest of your database to see, like, what. Some of the causes of that for you might be, okay, I see you're still only getting 5 hours of sleep. Now, we talked about getting more sleep. Right now, is it harder for you to fall asleep, stay asleep, or wake up rested? Maybe she says, I can't fall asleep. Okay. So then she thinks, okay, she looks back at the database, what are the underlying reasons which might make it hard for her to stay asleep clinically or behaviorally? So the first thing she sees, she knows she drinks coffee. She's like, remind me how much coffee you drink each day. She says 4 cups of coffee because she's really tired, right? And she says, okay, when do you have those cups? I have 2 in the morning and 2 at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, so she says, well, this is probably why you're not falling asleep. I know you're tired. Let's come up with some strategies of what we can do instead to give you a little bit of extra energy and slowly reduce the caffeine, because you don't want to go cold turkey, right? Go 25 decaf, 75 caf for a couple of weeks. You don't need to do anything hardcore here. Be more gentle to your body. And then start replacing it with like, adaptogen coffee, mud water, any of those things, because you get a lot of energy from it, but you won't get the side effect of keeping you awake and driving up your adrenaline and cortisol. So the treatment for her fatigue may be this process of untangling the caffeine, right? Then you see, okay, on no caffeine, she's falling asleep better, but she's still tired. Okay, so now we have to figure out what else is going on. And so that's how you put AI to work in a way that humans cannot. Like, I can do that because I did it for 25 years. I can do it. But when I try to train people to do this, they're like, what? Like, how do you even, it's so many data points interrelated. And I wrote a book a couple years ago called Seeing Red, and my publisher, Simon & Schuster, said, we want it to be the playbook of how you fix periods. And I was like, just there isn't one. Because each question, like say you have really bad menstrual pain, there isn't a one-to-one answer. It's why do you have menstrual pain? And people say, well, it's because of endometriosis. No, then I want to know why do you have endometriosis and what's underneath that and what's underneath that until I can't find any more underneaths, right? Then you fix that lowest underneath, and then that literally liberates all the other symptoms. So maybe we start with like infertility, perimenopause, endometriosis, insulin resistance, and then we start digging in and we see, oh, this person's energy is a 2 out of 10, their gut's messed up, they don't sleep, and they're overexercising. That is the first underlying cause of all of those things. So you fix those things and you see the cascade. How much then the AI, the data analyst, is able to look at it and see, like, oh, from that hypothesis, what improved, what didn't? It checks back in with her, it makes a new plan, it learns from her because it says, oh, I had a guess that this would work for this. Did she do it or not? And how effective was it? And if she didn't do it, I need to interview her to find out why she didn't do it so I can learn from her so I can give the next person a better recommendation. That's what women deserve.
100%. It's like I'm listening to you, and it's like, yes, their bodies will transform. And not just on the physical landscape. So we age quicker than we think. And I mean, literally, we get older quicker than we realize. All of a sudden you're celebrating your 50th, right? And you're like, what happens? And we don't put these practices or this work in place until there is a red flag moment.
A
Until we
huge red flag.
a huge one. It's got to be scary enough for some people that's being pre-diabetic. There's their warning bell, they're lucky. For others, it's they just had a stroke. They didn't even get a warning sign, or they had warning signs, but life was too noisy and they were ignoring their bodies. Symptoms.
I think that that's actually one of the biggest problems. I think that's what we need to be talking about a lot more, and I think we have to be careful about how we language it. I do love language, so that we're not. I think that women don't have a place in society in which they're not happy, right? That they have to be smiling and cute, and if they're mad, they're a bitch, and if they're sad, they're a baby. And so women get professionals that, like, no matter what shit gets thrown their way, they're like, that's okay, I'll take any shit, because it's really a survival. It's
It
how
is.
we survive, right? If
Yep.
even in school, right, you see the girls being very good because they're like, I don't want to rock the boat, and so they get really trained not to speak out and not to advocate for themselves, and when then we don't educate them,
Well, and then think of the way we were raised, right? And the way our parents were raised, there was a big separation between boys and girls, not literally. I mean, when I still see the school that my dad went to, and there was a girls line up to come in and a boys line up opposite side. So we're not there, but it doesn't mean, I mean, there was still home ec and wood shop when I was a kid. And
Me
I know
too.
they, yeah, right? And nothing wrong. Those programs should be up there, but they should be core. They should not be electives where, so the point is, they were teaching girls to be girls and boys to be boys. And there was a time and place for that. But there was never education, like you said, on going within or learning that it is safe to have these feelings. So now we're trying to release those generational pain points so the future doesn't have them. And I am positive I've seen your book. Is it
Well,
out in
it has like
indigo?
menstrual
And
blood stains on the
yeah,
outside of
and
it.
it's kind of, it looks like a vagina.
No. It's just a white cover, and it looks
Okay.
like it has big red blood stains on it.
Okay. 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 Well, we touched on this and I didn't go into detail, but I have a book called Your Story Matters.
Love it.
And it is an actual self-awareness, self-love workbook.
Oh, perfect.
So it does go hand in hand. There's a digital copy that people can download, and this was during the time of COVID. So I really wish I went with my gut and added a QR code to the back of it, because I do have a course to walk people through the book and to help keep them accountable. But the point is, this is all about like NLP and thinking differently and Like you, it is that next step. Would I recommend a 7-year-old do this? Nope. But it should be in every single high school, right? It should be in every single high school. And this should be somewhere else in the adulthood, but I don't know where, right? I don't want to say in corporations before they get hired, because that's kind of weird, but not really. It puts the ownership back on you. And that confidence, just like what you were saying with Chinese medicine, how it treats the whole, and how, you're digging into the root. When you understand your story, first of all, nobody can take your shadow away from you, right? And then the more confident you become, the more you're willing to share, the more you skip small talk because you don't need it in your life. This was a post-camera conversation that we had, and it's true for both of us. We had to do some small talk, but it's not where we want to be. And we're excited to jump to the good part. And that's because we know how good it feels to be in the good, right? We've done the work, whatever that looks like. And now we're sharing this knowledge with all of you. And I love how it's showing up so differently in everybody, not just this. But the way we're now delivering new content to help us dive deep into what should never have been a secret at all. Like, every woman should know who they are and what they're about, and that they can heal and change the numbers instead of being 1 in 5. Maybe it's going to go to 1 in 10. But it's anything is possible with education. And I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. When you open yourself up to learn, it changes things. And
And
when.
even I even like to say to discover, because sometimes if people didn't have a good experience in school, sometimes when we say like open it up to learn, they're like, oh, I hated school, you know?
I like that. It's like I always course correct people when they lost weight. No, you actually released weight. In other words, you're subconsciously going to be searching for that weight again, and you will inadvertently put the weight on or more. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm not going to unpack my story, but yes, based on my high school experience, I would say I hate learning, but based in my real life adulthood experience, I love it. I love being a geek. I love digging into information and diving really deep. And getting lost in my own world. And that comes across with the fact that we write books and share information. And I too go live on TikTok every day. So it sounds like our audience has so many tools and tips and resources. If all they do is follow us, they're in good hands. What are some of your topics on your show, on your TikTok episodes? Do you answer questions? Do you just go from the heart? Or
I
what's it
just do
like?
Q&A. I just like
Okay.
let them ask questions, and then I just will just, so whatever comes up, I'll, if I'm really interested in, I'll talk about it for a long time, and if I'm not that interested, I'll talk about it for a short time. And sometimes just a quick question. Sometimes it's like somebody saying, I've had 18 miscarriages, what's wrong with me? I'm like, hell if I know. I mean, like, I need a lot more information to know why you had 18 miscarriages. Like, I
That's
have
a
no way. I
lot.
need like I need 50 data points to figure that out. But I could probably come up with a good working hypothesis, but not just from, one sentence TikTok question.
Speaking of
My
that, no, I
sorry.
was going to ask you, are there more data points, the better, though, right, for coming up with a resolution?
Well, because in fact, when somebody comes to me for whatever they're working on and they only have like literally three symptoms, that's actually a lot harder. Because the more symptoms, it's just like you're basically just putting things in buckets, right? And you're like, well, 40 things in this bucket, one thing in this bucket, nothing in this bucket. This is the bucket, focus on this bucket is essentially, what drives you. That's what drives our algorithm. And so, people say, sorry, I have so many symptoms. Like, oh no, that makes my work so easy, And, I would say that the thing that we've been talking a lot about is one, how I really want people to stop using fertility monitors and trackers because I think they're injurious to women and I think they're borderline unethical because they're telling women, like, just capture your ovulation anywhere and then have sex, on the next day. And that doesn't even follow the guidelines. The guidelines show that you want to have sex 3 days before, 1 day before, 1 day after, 3 days after for optimal. And I'm like, if you have a longer than 32-day cycle, your ovulation is too late and your eggs are getting have a low egg quality because they're maturing, they get to their best place where they're perfect. And then if you don't use them, they start breaking down so you can reabsorb them. So the research is clear. Once you get past ovulation on cycle day 20, we have an egg quality issue and high risk for miscarriage. And I think it's unethical to not tell customers that.
Yeah, I would agree.
Instead, what they're just saying is like, just catch it anywhere and, go to bed, to Boomtown. Instead of saying, hey, your cycle is 60 days long, that usually tells us there's a bunch of underlying issues that are really going to not only impact your ability to get pregnant, your ability to stay pregnant, the health of your baby, your health during your pregnancy and labor and delivery and postpartum. Why would we not just fear like it's usually like fatigue, gut issue, stress, environment. There's a few things that usually have to get tweaked to fix that, but it's not too hard. But we want to get her ready. The other segues into the other thing is that we put so much pressure on trying to get pregnant, get that BFP, the big fat positive. But women who can't get pregnant or struggle to get pregnant have a 40% likelihood of miscarrying. It's because we put too much attention on getting pregnant and not enough attention on fixing the things that are required to make a human, to stay pregnant. We need resources to make humans. It's not like a little human. It's not like a tree frog, right?
Yeah, it's a bit, yeah.
8 pounds made out of you,
Yeah.
right? So if you're exhausted, if you don't have any blood, if your hormones are really low, there aren't resources for making humans yet. But that's the good news is that that can all be repaired by you with a little bit of help. Almost like I would say, I haven't done a study on it yet, but I would say probably 80% of the reasons people are not getting pregnant today can be repaired by themselves.
That's huge. I have my oldest daughter who's really trying for a second one. And she, she's, I want to say hyper obsessed and always taking tests. And every cycle she's thinking, she's hoping, she's praying. And I'm like, let it go. Like, just kind of enjoy life and relax and see what happens. And she kind of laughed at me a little bit, but it's a short period of time. I said, are you in the healthiest place that you can be to have another baby right now? Or was there too much scare and fear from your last one that's impacting you? Because there was a lot of trauma that came with the baby daddy, and subconsciously, unless she works on that, that too is going to have an impact with how she.
100%. And we tell her she can just download the Conceivable app for free. The first month is free.
Awesome.
And one of the things that's really helpful is you just go through the assessment and then you get a conceivable score. And that score is basically the likelihood of getting pregnant naturally right now. And you want that score above 60. The average starting score of people is 30. So if you're 25, if she's 25, 30, don't worry about it. But that is in a subfertile state. And then she can see the breakdowns of like what are the categories that are suboptimal, and then she can start getting a sense of like what could she be doing. Like instead of worrying, what we want to transition is instead of worrying about ovulation and the big fat pregnancy test is like really whatever your underlying issue is, and start with fatigue. Every time you want to work on getting pregnant, work on your pothole. Whatever your pot, like if you're tired, if your energy is like a 3 out of 10 without caffeine and exercise, that is your 100% focus until you're an 8 out of 10. And the app can help you to do that. That takes all the pressure off. It gives you like a new enemy to try to work with. And the obsession of like when you can't get pregnant becomes very binary. Either I'm not pregnant and I'm miserable, or I'm pregnant and I'm happy. And there's nowhere in between. And I hate this like, thrive in spite of infertility. No. I want you just to live. Live when you're on a journey to motherhood. Stop saying the word infertile, right? Journey to motherhood, because it's taking longer than you want, but why do we have to give it a negative name?
Well, and how is it different than any other dream or goal?
That's a
It's
good point.
not. I
Well,
mean,
I would say it's only different in that, like, there is biology that is preventing, we think that, I think that it's like too,
yes,
we think that
there's
women
risk.
don't have enough control. Like in Western medicine, we don't tell people like you can fix almost everything on your own. So it's like,
Right.
if you don't, you're like just screwed.
But it goes back to, again, even if you're tracking on a habit tracker and you're learning what your habits are or aren't, like you said, if you're trying to lose weight, release weight, what do you need to do? And you're tracking your work, but if you know you're not exercising, if you know you're eating that chocolate cake, that too can be managed, right? Maybe not the
Yeah.
biology piece, but that action there looks different. That variable
Yes.
looks different. The action of working on yourself is the same, which is bringing up one of my most recent favorite quotes. I think it's trumping my original favorite quote. And literally, if you don't know what to work on yourself, go inward. And this is another solid proof of how important it is to focus on you. No matter what stage and age, this isn't something that you, and again, this is a common mistake, and I'm sure you see this in your industry specifically as well, where they work with you for a period of time and then they think they don't need you anymore, or they don't need the resources anymore. Where in reality, this isn't a start, stop. Even with you, like you said, once they're pregnant, there's so much more to the journey.
Staying pregnant, recovering from, postpartum, getting ready for perimenopause, all of that.
All of that, so much at our fingertips these days. And you said the app is called Conceivable?
Yep, you can just go to the app store and download Conceivable with Kai, or you can check it out from our website, conceivable.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Is there anything else you would like to share with our audience today?
I think the last thing that I would like to just share is just remember if you're working on feeling better for whatever reason, start with asking yourself the question on a 1 to 10, if I didn't have any caffeine or exercise for 2 whole days, what would my energy be? And that number should be your North Star. Because if it's not 8 or above, then either you're not getting nourished from the food that you're eating, right? Either what you're eating isn't appropriate for you, or you're not digesting it properly, absorbing it. Or you're overexercising, you're too anxious, and that's burning through too much resources, or we have a sleep issue, or a combination of all of those things. But until we start being able to make, conserve, and restore energy, everything else you do is really hard. Even mind work is hard because you're just dysregulated, your blood sugar is dysregulated, you're fatigued, you don't have motivation. If you can just get your energy up a little bit, you'll get a little bit more natural motivation to kind of tackle some other things.
Yeah. And again, there is a perfect segue here to the fact that all of this has a huge impact on your nervous system, which has an impact on your stress levels, which will have a direct impact on your results.
Yes,
Yeah.
it's all connected.
It's all in that, exactly, 100%. Well, I want to thank you so much for being a guest today. And we're going to include the link to your book in our show notes. And the link to your app as well. But the fact that you shared with all of us right now, and I understand that you've got a huge community on TikTok. What's the best way for people to find you there?
Well, there's two. So there's one that's the period expert. That's mostly about periods. And the fertility one is your fertility expert. And if you don't mind, in the show notes, please link them to the website conceivable.com too for us so that if they want to get supplement, we do personalized supplement packs. So you can take a quiz and get personalized supplements for about half of what you would pay on Amazon, like 8 different supplements, super high quality for about $70. Like, we used to have all of them individual, like super, like Metagenics, Thorn. This is the kind of quality. And one bottle was $71. It was just too expensive. And we weren't actually making much margin on that. It was still just like when you buy really high quality products, if you don't have enough volume, it's really expensive. And we just found a new manufacturer who has a lot more reach than we do and was able to help us make these personalized packs for exactly what you need, nothing else, right dose, packaged for you, no plastic. Shipped to you once a month, and you just take it out, makes it so easy. And the most important part, like ultra high quality, but at the same time, like crazy affordable. In fact, people, we had to raise the prices. I'm going to just be honest about it. We had to raise the prices because people were like not checking out. And I was like, this is a no-brainer. Like every person who takes a quiz should check out. Like, and so I reached out to people, and they're like, seemed like a scam because they were so cheap. I was like, I know I'm trying to make them cheap for you. I'm trying to make this so easy, just like a complete no-brainer. I'd rather only make a few dollars per transaction just to cover, our expenses and stuff, but do that a million times and make it super affordable than try to
Right.
hemorrhage everybody, you know?
And again, I want to stress to everybody, you do not need to be in the midst of a fertility journey to optimize this.
Yes.
And once your gut health is fixed, so many other problems are fixed.
True.
You see, and without them being high quality, so if you just bought normal supplements, you're peeing most of them out without absorbing them.
You
So
are
it's just a waste
literally
of money.
wasting your money. Is it like throw them? I just tell people like throw them in the trash. Well, actually, say what I say is to return them because most supplement companies have a 30-day money back guarantee. If they don't, that's another red flag that I wouldn't, partake in that. If you tried to send that back and get people send me like one prenatal leptin thing to like, I didn't like them. I'm like, all right, well, I got the happiness guarantee, so I got to do it. But just return it. They're garbage. They're complete garbage. And if you're really curious, go on Alibaba and type in your brand name, and you might be able to see the brand that you're taking and what the brand is paying for it. Like
Interesting.
there's one like Au Naturel Concept Prenatal. I think it's $36. Their price on Alibaba is 8 cents a bottle. 8 cents.
Wow.
That's what it has to be to sell something for $30 retail and in a store. Your price has to be about 5% of what the re because like you pay $5 or you pay a dollar for it. Then you sell it to Target for whatever margin you need. And then Target is going to double that price again. And
Yeah.
so to get to $30, you got to reverse engineer it.
Just like our health, right here, right now. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's a real
It was
pleasure.
a blessing, and I know our audience is going to take away so much from this. So if you guys have any questions for either one of us, please feel free to reach out. You're going to have all of our contact information in the show notes. And until next time, my friends. Have a great day.
Take care.